Hey there, welcome back to the Inbound Unbound podcast. I am Michaela Phillips. I am your host today, and I'm a senior strategist here at Protocol 80. Today I'm joined with Kathleen Melvin. She is a strategic project manager and website project queen. And today we're going to discuss HubSpot website design for B2B and manufacturing in 2025. Kathleen, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, so my name's Kathleen, as Michaela said, and I've been here with Protocol 80 for about 4 years and love everything websites. So I've got a partner that I work with here at Protocol 80, Rob. Shout out to Rob. And him and I work together on a lot of these websites, so we're really excited to feature this and get more in depth on everything websites.
Let's start big picture. Why is a well-designed website so important, especially in B2B and in 2025?
So as we're all seeing every day how we're accessing information, how we're accessing even businesses' information, it's changing right before our eyes, and it's pretty much live. We can't even expect the biggest shift that's probably happening next month. So the need for websites to be able to go with that flow is more important than ever. So for B2B, even if it is a user or a potential customer searching something on ChatGPT or Google, you name it, the website needs to be there to really back up everything that they're about. And it needs to be their big reference point for everything that they stand for, where their values are at, what their selling points are. It just helps. And then when those bigger changes come that we're not all expecting, the website lets them be more adaptable to those and prepared.
Right. Having a strong foundation is so important. And I think as things move more digitally, it's more important now than ever, as you've touched on.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, I mean, when we think of, obviously, social is a presence. Yeah. And we always think of that with websites. And sometimes people are relying more on social, obviously, and websites, but that website still needs to be able to stand.
Yeah.
That needs to be the pillar still.
Absolutely. Have you seen expectations shift for B2B websites over the last few years, especially for industrial manufacturing? I know you kind of touched on this a little bit, but anything else that you wanted to expand on there?
Yeah, definitely. We've seen some big shifts lately with a lot of this, because when some of these websites used to be a little bit more outdated, and that was okay. They were getting a lot of their client base, their customer base, some of the same true ways that they always had. They have these great legacies, but that shifts over time. The competitive landscape changes. So you do see essentially some of the needs and expectations for websites change with that, that they realize, hey, having all this information on this one page might not be the best way. We're still getting these phone calls. They're not reading this information. They don't know how to contact us, those types of things. They're seeing the pain points, maybe where some gaps were as far as websites. And then that really ups the expectation of, hey, we do need to make this for the end user. It isn't just, it is obviously for the company, but it also does need to be for who's going to be using it. And they're understanding that. And then they also want it to be really shiny and nice, which totally makes sense, you know, with the way everything goes down. But
it almost feels like sometimes with like new website designs or even redesigns of existing sites, that it's like when someone purchases this, their first home, and they're so excited about like the reno of it and the design and the look and the paint colors, and every decision is so crucial. Which it should be. It is something big. It is something exciting. But it is funny. I kind of see that parallel sometimes.
Yeah, 100%. And it's like, okay, however many years ago, every wall was gray. And now the websites, every wall can't be gray, and we've got to keep up with this and that. So it's the trends, and it's really nice when there's like a real somebody in the organization that can really drive things forward and sees that vision and sees, hey, I might need to pull somebody in for this. Like, this is beyond what we're able to do, but I've got an idea. And those are the most exciting websites to do, because then it's great to work together,
right? Because everyone's pulling in the same direction. Mm-hmm. I feel like one thing that I really loved that you touched on was just the changing of user expectation in the space as the population as a whole just gets more web savvy,
yeah,
like is native to the digital space. there's evolving expectations, and Aries, B2C definitely saw it first.
Right.
And they're more on triggered by all the trends and user expectations, but you said it perfectly. As we continue on, it's moving into the manufacturing and B2B space too, which is just so it's awesome.
Yeah, but for sure.
I know that you guys have had a ton more website projects in recent months. And for the most part, we're building those out on HubSpot. Now, we might be a little bit biased because that's our primary tool. But could you give us a quick breakdown on why HubSpot is such a great CRM or CMS, sorry, for manufacturers to consider?
Because it can be a CRM, too.
And that's what I'm confused.
But that's also what makes it truthfully so great. I mean, honestly, from a layman's perspective of websites, and let's say we're not all web developers because we're not. HubSpot makes it fantastic to truthfully understand and build a really nice website. You still want a web developer to build, but the fact that you or I as non-web developers can go in, access the pages, easily access content. I need to switch this. I need to switch this image up. Images are always changing on websites. The HubSpot makes it so accessible in order to make those changes. But then on the other side of things, like mentioning the CRM and everything, HubSpot is nice as a little sales piece here, but it's true. HubSpot's so nice because it closes that loop of everything. So if you've got your website, if you've got your CRM, if you've got, like, so you know the forms, the forms are on HubSpot, your leads are coming in that way, you're managing your client base that way, you've got your deals, you've got all of your marketing, we're able to really see what's effective. And so having the website there is just on top of the usability of everything. It really does help make driven, informed decisions.
Yeah, that closed loop reporting is one of the things that I think Josh mentions a lot when people are talking about the idea of possibly starting a website project, having it in HubSpot with all of the data and it being a CMS and a CRM is perfect for that. And I think also one thing that I've seen a lot more is just using, as you said, the data to drive those decisions when a contact is in the CRM and visits a page on the website.
Yeah.
The CMS side of things, you can actually very creepily see what they're looking at and kind of tailor the next steps, the workflows, the automation, even one-to-one sales follow-up based on what they're seeing on the website. And so having that all in one place is kind of irreplaceable almost.
Truly. Because the one thing, when you launch a website, you're wanting to learn and catch up so quickly on how the users are feeling about it, how they're interacting with things, how's it working. But it's really nice to that regard to see that those results pretty quickly, to see, okay, where are we seeing all the hits at? Where's some shortfalls? Like, we can see how the pieces of the website puzzle come together, essentially.
It's awesome. It's really cool. Right. And you touched on this in your answer a little bit ago, but you said that having someone in-house that has a really clear vision when starting a website project just makes everything marry together so cohesively. What are some things that manufacturers should be thinking about before they start redesigning their website? Any tips?
Yeah, they need to really be thinking about, as simple as this sounds, like their larger message. What they want to convey, truthfully, if they've got a good idea of that and say, like, this is our company, this is our culture, and they might know it very well and they live it day to day, but it's tricky to put that to paper or website, for lack of a better term. So I think knowing like, hey, we have this strong legacy, or we're really strong here, we've got this anniversary coming up, like, these are all exciting things to feature. And you truthfully can build a lot on a website around that, knowing we've got these core elements. So understanding how you want to come off really, really does help with things like that. And then from there, I think the rest sort of plays, it comes together. It just seems to mold very nicely from there.
Absolutely. And I think one thing that I've at least noticed in the few websites that I've been brought in on or with my clients, even as they're starting marketing strategy, is on top of knowing exactly who they are, knowing who their clients need them to be. And building and marrying that together and finding that overlap and ways to explain that. I think that's just so important. I'm sure you see that a lot. It can be really hard, but really taking the time to do those steps of building out like a persona or doing buyer interviews even can be so impactful.
It's invaluable, truthfully, because what happens sometimes is you get different players that come in during website build, and sometimes it's the CEO, sometimes it's head of marketing. It's a range, but whoever that is, it's tricky because they do have to be thinking from that perspective of this isn't just what I like. It's not. And I actually, it's funny, even from mine and Rob's perspective, when we're doing websites, anything we do, we say, is this what we like or is this the persona? And you have to check yourself regularly from a design aspect, from a user, but like whatever it is, you just always have to be coming back to that. So it's important when we're designing them to nicely remind the other team too of that exact thing, because everything's subjective, and we've got some processes in place for that actually, and it does seem to help, but it's tricky. It's a tricky balance for sure, because especially with design, things look nice and you always want that to be there, but then it is more than that.
Right. It's hard to consider it for yourself or the company and the persona.
Yeah.
Your company might love bold, exciting colors, or your persona might want a more muted experience. And it's hard to walk that line, and it's hard to test that too.
It is. Yeah, it is. Sometimes you've got to just go forward with as much as you have, see how it works. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of a good website. You can switch it up over time. That's it. Like if it's built well, you've got that main foundation, and then you can change as needed, and it will need change.
Right. And I think HubSpot's great because it adapts to that. The themes that you can select there can usually be changed. I mean, sometimes.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Depends. We'll get into that too, I'm sure. But I think that that's one of the pain points that at least I've seen a little bit in some initial conversations with clients when they're considering what projects they're doing, is that these sites were built on dated platforms that haven't kept up with the times. And so making major changes is harder when you don't have a solid foundation.
It is. It's one of the biggest things to consider too with that, because looking at HubSpot and other ones, is one thing I love with HubSpot is the revision history, and seeing, you see the full trail of what's happened. If something did go wrong, we see where it went wrong and we see how to fix it quicker. But then also to that same point of just its usability, you've got that branding section in there and you've got all your colors housed, and that way it makes it easy for the whole team, the design team, you name it, you've got all your hex numbers in there, you've got everything. So it truly is customizable to that point. And if things shift over time, that blue is not our blue anymore. We've had that, and you just switch it.
Right. And then you click up a button. Is huge. Yeah, I don't spend a lot of time in the brand guide thing, but earlier this week I was getting some.
We were in there.
And I was like, wow, this is nice.
Yep.
This is nice. But cool. Awesome. All right. Well, moving on into, we talked about what helps beforehand. Mm-hmm. In your experience, either before, during, middle of the process, what common misconceptions do manufacturers have when approaching their website design?
It probably is that bias that they don't realize. It could be also, there's a few things. It's some unrealistic expectations for sure. Maybe chasing a semi-competitor or someone that's a bit larger. They have a different type of website, different type of end user. That we see from time to time. But then also just really, I'd say the biggest thing is, just to go back to it, but thinking too much about what you like, you know, that is what we probably see a good bit. And it's so hard to regulate that. And then also, as you're doing the website, when you go into planning, it's really important to have the correct person from the manufacturer's standpoint or whatever the business is leading that charge, and that they decide that going into this, that, hey, we've got to have this one person who's going to have that final say and take all these different perspectives and know what's best, because that's very tricky. And it is, it's hard. And sometimes it helps. Sometimes we'll be able to be a nice third party that can just say, hey, you're not being a bad guy by pushing back on this, or, hey, why don't we move forward more with this idea? That's fantastic. Like, some of them, you don't want to stifle any of the ideas. Some of those best ideas come from along the build, maybe a month out from launch.
Hopefully and not then, the same week.
Yeah, hopefully not, you know, 2 weeks out, but they do, some good ideas really do come from those different, sometimes you have to see it to know it. And so, but then we can better plan either way. You know, you can push it out a little, you can say, hey, this might take a little bit to get to that, but we can out plan either way and try to balance those issues.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And I think one thing that the clients that we work with have the benefit of having you and Rob in there every day doing so many of these is that you get to know which modules, themes, things like that help to make the design
yes.
become a reality more easily. Do you have any favorite themes or modules that you wanted to bring up?
Yes. I love Act 3 as a theme. That just seems to be able to take shape very nicely. There are... It's a good, not even a bad thing, but one really interesting thing about it is there are likely websites that share the same theme. That's the one that I would say you don't know it's always the same. It's really interesting how, although it has a lot of the same modules, it just takes shape so differently. It has a lot of different layouts, modules, color options. It's got like the dark or the light theme. It's just, it can really bring a website to life pretty quickly. And it's got some nice video slider modules. I love how the heroes look. It's just one of those that, it's got some different hero looks as well, which are really nice to sometimes differentiate the page you're on. Like a lot of times it used to be all about consistency, obviously, and like having, okay, this is our hero look, this is our page layout. But sometimes it does help as you get deeper on the website to differentiate that look. Yeah. And that theme is really nice for that, because maybe it helps the user say, hey, I'm no longer on these main pages. I'm just learning about the company. What a nice company. And that's sort of what I think that look and feel gives. Power's great. The power theme's a great one. And then within, I think it's clean mm-hmm. is the theme, but there's a magic module in that one.
What does that
do? It's magic. But it really does a lot of different things. It can help with it helps you get to the design quicker, I guess, is the really non-web developer
right.
perspective
when
on
I
it.
Asked, what does it do? I
Rob,
didn't mean like
Rob
I
here.
Do it now,
Rob here would do a much better job explaining this. But essentially, let's say you have this idea in mind, like you want this web page, you want a nav on the left, you want it to lay out this way, or I want these images laid out, I want this parallax, I want this, whatever the idea you have, it essentially can get there a little quicker. And that's one really nice thing with that theme. We've seen that a few different times, and actually in talking with different clients and not realizing they were all, like, within our pods without realizing they were using that, we've noticed, oh my gosh, that's cool. Oh, we're using the same module, it just differently.
I wonder, does MXD, to your knowledge, use the magic module?
That was the one.
We have a client here, shout out. But I've seen some pillar pages built within their site that uses the magic module.
Yes,
I think.
Yes,
and
they are amazing.
It's very cool. But yeah, and for our listeners that have HubSpot, might be considering a web design, need to look at modules or themes as that next step, HubSpot has a marketplace that has them all listed out. And I've been very impressed with it, with how it lets you kind of click around, test the functionality. It has millions of sample pages built out,
like
homepage samples, landing page samples, anything you can really think of. So if you're looking for a place to start, that's always a good one.
Absolutely.
And they range in prices. Some are free, some are paid. I think the ones mentioned here today are mostly some of that paid tier. Basically, you kind of pay for what you get
with
those, and you might be able to speak to it better, but I've just noticed that usually if you go with a free theme, our clients that have that, there's a lot of more work for our web developer, Rob.
Yeah.
He's tapped in a lot more. He's often having to build out some modules because it just doesn't have as much capabilities.
Yeah, that's exactly true. What you don't pay for up front, you'll probably pay for it in time for yourself or trying to figure it out, or the web developer down the line, for that exact reason. Like, even just laying two images next to each other on a paid theme is actually very simple. On a not paid theme, it might not be. You might need some coding and some back end.
Absolutely. Any other must-haves that you wanted to mention as far as modules, themes, or anything else?
I think those are, I mean, those are the main, just to your point, there's so many out there. The only other one that's really stands out that we built one on, I think in the last year, maybe it could have been 2 years now, but time goes fast. But Spark is a cool one. And one thing also to mention, if the creative team at the business we have a creative team here, but if they have their own graphic designer and they have their own really strong vision, that can just take a website to the next level, because a theme like Spark, very clean, very easy to navigate around. And then we worked with this client, and their designer created all of these amazing graphics that just sort of were buttons essentially, and they took place. They also were in the heroes, and it just took shape so quickly, and it has such a unique look, but it's still clean. Like, there's a lot of nice ways to have everybody work together to really accomplish that. You're not just limited to what the theme is necessarily. And sometimes it's fun to try out things. That was a really cool learning experience, just to go through that and see how to take it in a totally different direction, but still staying within those confines of that.
That's awesome. Very cool. All right. So that was a good example. What are some of the most common website mistakes you're seeing manufacturers making, either starting the website process or even just sites that need to be touched out?
Almost, I'd say overkill. I'm seeing that quite a bit. It's really tricky to balance everything as far as content, modules that pull in or fade out. And sometimes too much happening on a website is very overwhelming. Like, we're all a little overwhelmed, I'd say. might just be me, but on a day-to-day, I mean, everyone is accessing so much from social media, from you name it, from work. We're getting alerts from school. We're getting everything, and we're used to that. And sometimes when we're trying to collect information, we might get strayed away if it's a little overwhelming. So sometimes finding that right balance of, this is such a cool effect, to maybe we should chill on the lower half of the page. That is something that truly needs to be a focus, essentially, but then also not overloading with information, and then finding that correct path. Yeah. We're telling them this, but where do they go from here? And do they know where to go from here? That's really a big thing to focus on.
Absolutely. The next question that I had really focused in on balancing branding and visual appeal first functionality and conversion goals, because ultimately, yes, we want to get people to the site, we want to inform them, but we want to convert them. We want them to become leads. The whole point of it is to absolutely first educate, build brand awareness, but that next step is you want to grow your lead base. No one designs a website for the sake of just having a pretty website.
Cool.
It's about, how does it grow revenue for the business? How does that convert? So Do you have any advice for manufacturers on balancing that branding and visual appeal versus the functionality?
Absolutely. You really do have to start with the basics. You don't want to jump ahead. I'd say when you're trying to balance the branding, you really just start with, hey, what are our main, okay, what's our colors? What's our look? What do we like about the things we're currently doing? Are there things that we like that we have examples of that other people are doing? So we pull in some of that to bring that together. That seems to really help. Same with examples of, to that point, of things other websites we don't like. Hey, we're seeing this a lot. We don't want to do that. So once we have those basic branding, and it's another huge plus if there are already images, video assets. That is not always the case. I'd say more common it isn't. We can work on collecting those as we go, but it's a nice thing with a website. It's living. Right. We can always update those. But those core elements seem to be really what makes it. If you've got a clean site, you've got your branding down, you've got your look and feel that you're hoping, from there, it should take life pretty nicely.
That's awesome. I think it's such a good point about the graphics, the video, the elements like that, because it can be so hard to see what it's going to look like, for lack of a better word, until you have those and they're in there and they're performing, because outdated images can often make an outdated website.
It truly can. And it's so nice to bring the human aspect. It's manufacturing, it's business, whatever the industry is, it's nice to see that person there and see the people that work there and see just featuring different things, not just necessarily. And that's a great way to get the company bought into the website too, to some degree. It really helps highlight things. You get ideas you hadn't, you get that, like I said, the human side. We want to do this feature. This employee's been here 30 years. How amazing. You can feature that. And it's nice to see for maybe someone who's looking at jobs, like hiring such an issue everywhere. It's nice to warm up a site that way. But then also, it's a human interacting that's going to be converting. It does help to bring that to them. Well, it's like a little insight that they
humans
get to
like
see.
To see other humans.
Yes.
Doing the things. And then I think too, with manufacturing, it can be hard to get really beautiful images of the process. Our team does a really great job of that here.
Yeah.
Looking at Rachel behind the camera. Right. Yeah. but other, like, it can be hard. And so having some of that human element, maybe someone working on the machine, just makes the images a bit more interesting.
Yeah.
Then it can get dull with just another part, just another machine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great point there. Cool. And then how often would you say a B2B manufacturer should be updating or auditing their website? Is there a sweet spot?
It's tricky because you don't want to be doing it too much. We've seen that where it's once the website launches, everyone starts to pay attention to the website. And it can get scary for everybody because you've got all these new insights. And it's really helpful first to have your overall yearly plan and then maybe do some quarterly audits. Obviously looking at website health, looking at the offsite SEO portion of things. How's that health look? How's it performing on mobile? And then what else do we need to do this quarter to support our larger goals to add onto the website? Hey, we've got this new machine coming. Does this require a new section? Does this require a new page, a new form process? Or another example of that, hey, this form, these forms, we really need to break these up. People are getting confused. They're filling this out. That happens no matter what. But to some degree, we can use the data we're getting, use the yearly goals, and try not to move too hastily unless necessary. But I think that I like that quarterly to yearly type approach. Yeah. It seems to work well.
Absolutely. And I think that ties in well with other marketing strategies that companies might be using. So
yeah,
reporting, making sure that, I mean, ideally monthly reports where it makes sense, but deeper dives quarterly, seeing what content is really helping to drive that.
Yeah.
And that can also inform
yeah.
what else should be added to the site. Like maybe there's not always an update, but, oh, we're seeing people check out this page on X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
Can we build out some more content around there? Can we make a conversion point? So if they're, we see that they have really great time on page here, maybe it's a blog, maybe it's a website page. Oh, that's awesome. But they're not converting because we didn't give them a clear conversion point.
Right.
Other than the contact us, and they might not be there yet.
Right.
This is more awareness. So figuring out how to build out content around the website pages. So I think letting the results and the data that you see kind of drive what comes next for the website is something really beautiful that can happen.
Yeah.
When you merge that reporting and the website development and design all together.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, when you're putting everything out there and you've got all these downloadables, you've got information, you want to make sure it's useful and not just useful for the competitors to access. So you can truthfully use that information and make sure if you're not seeing the results that you think you'd want to see or you think you should see, it's time to look at that strategy a little bit deeper.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Any other advice for companies so that they can make sure that they're evolving with user expectations and digital best practices?
There's, I guess, a few things. It's just if staying on top of what you're seeing out there, it's really helpful if you see a website you like and you see a page you like and you write it down. So you're really always staying aware of what you're seeing from competitors. Competitor audits, we do those regularly, but those are really helpful to see, to sort of stay on top of things. See if you see any shifts happening slow. Sometimes it's hard to see real time those shifts, but then when you monitor those and you capture these ideas over time, you sort of see what's happening and see how to better mold things moving forward. But I just always really like writing down examples. I mean, I'm always seeing websites and saying, hey, that's an awesome idea. Let's try that with this. And yeah. And then the other really thing that's really helpful is staying in touch with your current customer base. It's not a bad idea to get a survey out there on the website. Like, hey, we just launched this website with some core customers that you know would give some good feedback. What are you thinking? What are you seeing out there? What could be more helpful? And that's where a lot of good ideas come from as well. You can do that with your employee base as well, on top of the customers.
That's really smart. I like that idea a lot. All right. Well, to round out this podcast, can you walk us through a success story? That you've seen recently where a manufacturer saw some real ROI from a HubSpot website design? Because I know, again, no one designs a website just to design a website. There's always that ultimate goal of wanting to drive ROI, wanting to see the results.
Yeah, we've had a few recently because we've had more website launches, I'd say, in the last few months than we have ever. So some really exciting takeaways from that. One, we'd only launched it maybe the week before the website, and it hadn't really done a lot prior in the prior website as far as SEO goes. Didn't really show up on high on the search ranking, and we saw one of its main products outrank on the search and the SERP page above larger competitors, above large manufacturers. So, and that was just from a very basic things there, like the solid page structure, nice offsite SEO was taken care of. We've got those H1s, the meta, all those little things that you just check the boxes on to make sure they're there. But it does help as far as the crawlability goes for that page. And hopefully users find that helpful too. Yeah. But that was a first for them. So that was so cool. Like we were all very excited about that one. Another thing that really does help with website design and relating to the success story, sometimes the website design makes you have to clean house and you have to clean up a lot of things. And we've got this part of this website here. We've actually got a subdomain here. And that was one that we did, and their subdomain that they housed, that actually outranked them, but didn't really link correctly back to the website. So you couldn't really ever get to that website, never really ranked their original one. we launched, and now they're their number one for that, for their own keyword. But so as far as that's a huge win for them, because I think before you might have searched it and you truly might not have ended up at the website. So it's super exciting to see that. Huge win. And then just to see the form submissions come in and see there was one from a few months prior that, and actually a year ago too, we've got two, but I'm just seeing so many forms come in, strong form submissions come in, the kind that we want. So it's telling us that work paid off and the right end user is ending up at the right place at the right time.
So important. Mm-hmm. You say getting someone to the right place at the right time with the right information.
Yeah.
All ties together. So, so important. So
yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. It's exciting.
Ooh. You and Rob have been killing it.
Thanks.
And the designs have been really impressive too, yeah, which is great. And I'm looking forward to adding some onto the P80 site to have some showcases.
Yeah.
So that you all listening can go check it out and see the work that they've been doing, which has just been awesome. Speaking of that, we love talking about this, as you can tell, as we've talked about it for at least over half an hour now. Please reach out if there are any questions. You can visit the protocol80.com website, ask a question there via the contact us form, or you can email info@protocol80.com as well. But this has been so much fun. I love listening to you talk about something you're so passionate about and so good at. So thank you so much for coming on today, Kathy.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been fun.
Yay.